Morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. We're back in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and today we are looking at verses 12 through 17. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to encourage you to take it out, and let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I'll read it beginning now. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happens to all men. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so if it happeneth even to me, why was it then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the day has come shall not be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man and the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now we come to this passage, we see something extremely interesting. What we see is that Solomon, who is writing a book of wisdom, who is encouraging people to have wisdom, who obviously lived to attain wisdom, is saying that I recognize that wisdom has its limits. And so the purpose of the section is to say, look, there are significant benefits to walking in wisdom. It is superior to walk in wisdom than in folly in this world. But in the end, they both find the same fate. The person who's wise and the person who's the fool, they're both going to meet God one day. They're both going to die and people will forget about them. And so that's really the main point of the passage here. And so Solomon is really lamenting at the same time that he's holding out wisdom to you and saying, hey, you need wisdom. But what's really interesting is what Solomon's doing is he is subtly telling us that there is a kind of wisdom that is temporal in its benefit, and there's a kind of wisdom that's actually more significant than that temporal worldly wisdom. And that's really the wisdom that he's imparting in this book. It's the wisdom that says there's an emptiness to a life lived only for this world, a life that only recognizes the here and now and doesn't recognize eternity. So let's dig into what Solomon's saying in this passage. The first fact that we're going to see is that he examines and contrasts both wisdom and folly. Verse 12, he says, I turn myself to behold wisdom, madness, and folly. Now, when he talks about wisdom, madness, and folly, he's talking about a wise way of thinking. When he talks about madness, he's talking about a foolish way of thinking. And when he talks about folly, he's talking about the product of living in a way that's consistent with a foolish mindset. So he says, I wanted to stop and I wanted to look at life and observe how it works. Is there a difference? Is there a benefit to having wisdom versus being a fool and walking in wisdom versus walking in folly? And so as he looks at it, this is what he concludes. What can a man do? He says, I turn myself to behold wisdom, madness, and folly. And he basically says, I said that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. So when Solomon looks at this, he recognizes that there's a benefit to walking in wisdom. And he puts it in really kind of an interesting way. He says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. The idea that he's making is that when a person is wise and they're living in this world, because they recognize what's going on around them and they process what's going on around them, they have the discernment to understand what's going on in life. The fool, on the other side, is not observant, does not process those facts. And so what does the fool do? He walks as if he's not seeing and understanding what's around him. So when he does this comparison, he basically says it's better to walk in wisdom than it is to walk in folly. The part that kind of mixed me up is he also concludes that every generation seems to just kind of repeat itself, seems to kind of do the same thing over and over and over again. He says, what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath already been done. Solomon notices that when he studies history and he studies people's lives, he sees the same kind of repetitive behavior. it was kind of interesting. If you're a person that interacts with lots and lots of people, people from different age categories, and you're able to do it over the course of, say, decades, and you're able to see generations kind of come through different seasons of life, what you will discern is that there's a very repetitive cycle to the way that people approach things. You see this repeated over and over and over again. You might be talking to a person that a situation to them is very fresh, it's new, they don't think anybody's ever been here before, and you're listening to their situation, you say, I've seen this before. Well, what's the point? The point is that history repeats itself. Human nature is consistent from generation to generation. And so Solomon recognizes this. He says, one king comes, one king goes. We see the same thing happening over and over and over again. But what I've learned is that it's better for a person to have wisdom than to have folly. In other words, there's a repetitive cycle for the wise. And there are certain outcomes that tend to happen because of the wise. And if someone is a fool and they're walking in folly, what do you see? You see a repetitive cycle in that particular way of walking in life. He sees that there's a distinction between the two and that there's a benefit to walking in wisdom. But when Solomon says that, he has a caveat. The one person understands what's going on, the other one doesn't. The one person's walking in the light, the other one's stumbling in the darkness. But here is the brutal reality of life. We all arrive at the same fate. And Solomon goes, this is unbelievable. I'm watching people come and go. I'm watching people go through these cycles. I see the benefits of wisdom. But in the end, I realize something happens. The wise man and the fool end up both dying and both being forgotten. And so he says, what's the point? Here's how he expresses it in verse 14. He says, I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to all. That's really important. He says, I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so it happens even to me. Why was I then more wise? But I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there's no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the day to come shall also be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Solomon says, whether you're wise or whether you're a fool, one day people will attend your funeral. And not only will they attend your funeral, but the reality is, as time goes on, you will soon be forgotten. And people will become so focused on what's going on in their lives at the moment that they will only from time to time remember that you lived and that you worked and that you are wise or that you were a fool. He said, we all seem to receive the same fate. We die. We're forgotten. What's the point? That's what Solomon says when he thinks about life. But I want you to realize something. There is a point, and here's the point. Without God, wisdom is empty. It's frustrating, and it leaves us with no lasting value. In other words, if your wisdom does not factor in God and eternity, if your wisdom is only living practically in a temporary world, but not preparing for eternity, then your wisdom is empty. And at the end of your life, you will be frustrated. And this is how he expresses it in verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. In other words, Solomon was deeply depressed. He says, I looked at life and I said, this is pointless. This is frustrating. He says, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon recognizes that when he sees that there's a benefit for wisdom over folly, but the wise man and the fool die and they're forgotten in the same way, he says, what's the point of life? Life is miserable. Life is empty. Life is vexing. And I want you to realize something. A person who has good skill and observation, they think deeply about life, yet they choose to ignore God and they don't have a God-centered worldview, there's going to be a result of intense pessimism, frustration, and they're going to conclude that life is worthless. In fact, the older we get and the more that we see, if we reject God and eternity, we are going to become very disgruntled, frustrated, angry people. And we see that in life, there are lots of people that way. They have the ability to recognize good practical insight to how to live in this world. But they do not factor in the world to come. And they do not factor in the providence of God. And they do not factor in the goodness of God and the gospel and redemption. Those things are not on their mind. Life is worthless for the person that doesn't consider God. And so while the worldly wisdom that a person has gives them temporary gain, it tragically falls short of the God-centered perspective. And not only does it tragically fall short of it, but it leaves us empty and it leaves us frustrated. It leaves us bitter and angry. So here's the question that we need to ask this morning. Since this is the reality of the world that we live in, how do we practically apply this insight that Solomon presents? That wisdom in this world gives you a temporary benefit, but it's only temporary. And the fact that it's only temporary can provide tremendous frustration and anger in a person that says, what's the point? Here's the point. In Matthew 16, Jesus tells us how we should respond to these truths. In verse 24, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." What Jesus is saying is, listen, if you want to gain in life, you have to lose your life. In other words, rather than living the self-centered life, you have to live the self-denial life that puts God and His wisdom and His ways and His word first. In other words, daily you're going to have to submit to His lordship, not your lordship. You must be willing to live the God-centered life, which will include self-denial on a daily basis. You need to realize that there's an eternity, and there's a God who's going to reward people according to what they've done. The reality is that if we live this life for ourselves, and we reject God's offer of redemption through Christ, we ignore the gospel, we don't consider eternity, we don't prepare for not just the here and now, but what is to come after the grave? If we don't prepare, God is going to have to judge us because He is the sovereign and He is the ruler of all things. God will judge us according to our deeds, and in the end, we will face eternal destruction. But on the other side of the equation, the person who recognizes God and eternity and his sin and God's plan of redemption in Christ, that person who turns to the Lord Jesus in repentance and trusts in what the Lord Jesus has done for them, God redeems them, He saves them, He forgives them. And what's so interesting is in that position in Christ, God is evaluating how we manage our time and the resources that He's given us in this life. And He's doing that because He wants to reward us with eternal blessings. And so when it says that God will reward people according to what they've done, if I've rejected Christ, that means eternity separated from God and eternal destruction. But if I've embraced the gospel, that means the opportunity to have eternal reward because of the blessings of Christ. That means that there is not only a temporary benefit to walking in wisdom, but if that wisdom is godly wisdom, there is an eternal benefit, one that goes beyond the grave, one that goes beyond the here and now. There's a benefit that I will enjoy forever. And so what does Jesus say? Jesus says, live the God-centered life. Don't just live on the basis of worldly wisdom, but live on the basis of eternal godly wisdom. And so that's our challenge this morning. Let's be a people who, when we look at the futility and the temporary benefits of worldly wisdom, that we will turn from worldly wisdom to embrace a wisdom that also recognizes God in eternity and learns not just how to live in life in the here and now, but learns how to live in the here and now in preparation for eternity. That's our encouragement from this passage this morning. I want to ask you if this has been an encouragement to you. Please consider sharing that and sharing it with somebody else. I also do want to mention that I will not be recording for the next week. So starting tomorrow through the end of next week, I won't be recording. Our next recording date will be on August the 31st. I have obligations every morning for the next week, and so I won't be able to do that. But I do look forward to getting back to doing our recording when we continue in this section. Let's go ahead and bow together for a word of prayer, and we'll see you the rest of the day. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to think about what is here. And Father, it is truly an important lesson for us to learn that worldly wisdom is temporary, and godly wisdom not only factors in living practically now, but preparing for our eternal state. I pray that you'll help each person that's listening to listen attentively, to think deeply about these truths, and then to live in the light of them. We ask for your blessing on each of them in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to chat with you this morning, and I look forward to seeing some of you at church on Sunday. And also, I look forward to our next lesson, which will be on August the 31st. Have a great day. Bye now.